Title of this message is Isaiah 51, the word of the Lord for his people. New covenant portion will be Yochanan, Gospel of Yochanan, chapter 1. You stink too. Some of you more than me. Some of you less. My identity is in the Lord. I look to the... You stink too. Some of you more than me. Some of you less. My identity is in the Lord. I look to the... You stink too. Some of you more than me. Some of you less. My identity is in the Lord. I look to the... You stink too. Some of you more than me. Some of you less. My identity is in the Lord. I look to the... You stink too. Some of you more than me. Some of you less. My identity is in the Lord. I look to the quarry and the rock from which I was hewn. A rock quarry will actually produce a certain quality of stone. The trained eye will be able to determine which quarry a piece of stone was taken from. It possesses a certain color, a certain texture. Specifically, this metaphor is applied to what we call Jerusalem stone. It is a peculiar type of limestone that is found in Israel. Some of it is red in color. Some of it has a slight yellowish hue, but that's not why it's called Jerusalem gold. The stone itself is referred to as Jerusalem gold. It actually has what I believe, I don't know the exact mineral in it, but it appears to be iron pyrite, and it has these little veins that travel through the limestone. And some of it is white. The red is the rarest, and it is the hardest. It is very difficult to chisel. It will last the longest. The gold has these streaks of minerals, and it makes chiseling and carving Jerusalem gold, or the Jerusalem stone that's called Jerusalem gold, it makes it very difficult because if hit the wrong way, it'll fracture along those mineral lines and you start again. The white is the most common and it is the softest of all the three types of Jerusalem stone. Now, little BS. I relate these to the priests, the Levites, and Israel. The red, obviously, I relate and understand the red Jerusalem stone in a priestly way, in the blood that flowed into the Kidron from the temple. The Levites, I see those golden streaks as the sounds of heaven they produced on their instruments, on the lyres, on the timbrels, on the songs that wafted through the corridors of the temple. I close my eyes sometimes and I try to think, try to transport myself. I will read portions of the word that describe the temple service and I will use that as a portal by which to be transported back in time to the temple times when I, and I'll close my eyes and I can see the people wandering in the courtyards, and I can hear the music, and I can hear the sounds of the animals, and I'm there. It's not just imagination. At least I don't feel it is just imagination. I feel like the Lord has, like Isaiah, given me, made me privy to a scene, not in the future, but in the past. The sounds of the music are the sounds that I try to reproduce. Because I believe the levies, that streak of gold, was maybe God communicating to them the melodies and the tones that are found in heaven, what we call music. And of course, the white, the softest, the most common, would be the rest of Israel. Israel is comprised, like God, of three aspects. They are individual, but they are yet echad. They are one. You have priests, Levites, and Israelites. When Keith and I built the wall at church in the city, each stone was chosen and placed for its color and texture. I took all the crates apart, and I separated the stones out into colors. And then I separated those stones into different textures. And each stone was chosen and placed in a very specific spot for its color and its texture. Same thing with this wall here. We did the exact same thing. And you can see the red. And the stones were placed there with purpose. It's not haphazard. As believers, we are noticeable. We are peculiar. We are hewn from the same quarry as Avraham, as Yitzchak, as Yaakov. The people of God have certain characteristics. Verse 2 of chapter 51 of Isaiah. Look to Avraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave birth to you in pain. He was one when I called him. Then I blessed him and multiplied him. And from him came a people without number, too great to count. For we not only have Israel, but we have the commonwealth of Israel, as it is spoken of in Ephesians chapter 2, the children of promise. And he preached peace not only to those who were near, but also those who were far away, the goyim, the nations. And the children of Avraham became a nation without number, too great to count. These words show the fulfillment of God's promises in the past, that we might have faith about what he says will come to pass. Verse 3, indeed the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all of her waste places and her wilderness. He will make like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her thanksgiving and the sound of melody. Song. Music. And that music will caress the soul. It will massage it. It will bring healing. David says, I sing my song in the night. David had a tone, a melody that was his, and that particular melody brought peace to his soul. And he would sing it in the night after a tumultuous day. We have a form of music called what? The blues. Why? Because it was the music folks played when they were down. And it brought a peace to their soul. And whatever else was going on, when that slide came up, and you heard the sound, whatever blues you had evaporated into the music. And the music brought peace to your soul. It happened with King Shaul. He was possessed entirely by a demon, and he was tormented day and night. And David would come with his lyre. And the demon was depressed. He no longer exerted the same kind of influence, because the sound of heaven permeated the soul of Shaul, and he found peace. When we look to Israel, certainly the Lord has accomplished this. The deserts of Israel bloom with every tree and bush that is pleasing to look at and good to eat. The very same description God had, or Eve noticed, in the Garden of Eden, in the Garden of the Lord. To emerge from the ashes of the Holocaust and to view Israel in 1948 and then to view it now, one would be hard-pressed to believe that he was looking at the same place. The deserts are dotted with growth that reveal an array of colors that would rival any painter's palette and satisfy the most critical palette of any gourmet. It is the Garden of the Lord. You can, on one trip, we were at this place. I can't even remember where. All I remember was this fence, and there was an opening for the corners of the field. And I went in and picked an orange, and it was an orange of all oranges. It was unbelievable. And I was in the middle of a desert. There's nothing around except this orange, and it was huge. Fruits and vegetables of every size, shape, and hue render the landscape as a rainbow in Israel, and the tongue salivates for that which delights the eye. These places serve to heighten the contrast between that which God has filled with his blessing and that which has had his blessing removed. Verse 4, pay attention to me, O my people, and give ear to me, O my nation, for a law will go forth from me, and I will set my justice for a light upon the people. My Torah, my word will go forth from me, and it will bring justice. It will be a light for the peoples, for the goyim, for the nations. Who shall bear this light? Who shall bring it? Verse 5, my righteousness is near. My salvation has gone forth, and my arms will judge the people. The coastland will wait for me, and for my arm they will wait expectantly. Among my people, this has a primary fulfillment in Mashiach, the Messiah. Tziki yatza Yeshuati uz ro'ai amim yishputu. My righteousness has gone forth, and my arms shall judge the people. Adonai Tzidkenu was one of the names given to the Mashiach. Primarily, that was taken from Jeremiah, the Lord, our righteousness. Jeremiah chapter, there it is. We got it sitting up there. But Zrua, or arm, is another one of the names that my people gave to Mashiach. Isaiah 53, Uzroa Adonai al mi niglata. To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Since the word arm is plural in Isaiah chapter 51, verse 5, it was believed that there would be, you got two arms. It was believed there would be two messiahs. And my people named them Mashiach ben Yosef, after the suffering messiah of Isaiah 53. And Mashiach ben David, the glorious king who would rule over the whole earth from Jerusalem. One would come as a lamb and be led to slaughter, and the other a glorious, light, entrained king who would bring the judgment of God and rule over the whole earth. The Lamb of God brought his grace. The Lion of Judah will bring his judgment. However, the word translated arm shares a root with another word which also was attached to the Mashiach by my people. Zroah, arm, and Zera, seed, share a root. Interesting. And the word Zera is applied both to plant seeds as well as humanity. The word Zera means semen, the male issue. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, uvin zarka, uvin zara, and between your seed and her seed. The seed of the snake, the devil, is ultimately the beast of Revelation. He will be the actual seed of Hasatan. Just like the seed of the woman would be the Son of God, the Mashiach, in its ultimate form. However, immediately we see something that is quite peculiar and just doesn't seem to make any sense whatsoever. Woman doesn't have seed. The concept of the seed of the woman is preposterous. It's an oxymoron. It doesn't work. A woman doesn't have seed. She carries the seed. And so it was determined from this verse that Mashiach would be the product of a virgin birth, that no flesh and blood man would be involved, and that the seed of the woman would be placed in her by God himself, and that the arm of the Lord, who was this seed of the Lord, would become the Son of God, who would appear as a man, but would also have the qualities of his daddy's side of the family. And we see those qualities exhibited on the Mount of Transfiguration, when the essence of who Yeshua was begins to break through this flesh, and he begins to shine like the sun in its brightness. And those who are with him are creatures of light. And the poor apostles are sitting there and watching all of these glowing beings, and they just lie at their feet like those who were dead. The same posture as Yochanan when he beholds Yeshua in Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, with his hair white as snow, and out of his mouth comes this sharp two-edged sword, and his face shines like the sun in its brightness. That is what we will see upon his return. Not the Lamb of God, but we will see this glorious, I can't call him a creature. What can you say? How do you describe this? The glorious king, the king of light, who appears to us in brilliance. It's wonderful, isn't it? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? That's the way Isaiah 53 begins. The ones who understand him to be the Son of God. They are the ones who understand wisdom because they have a fear of God. The one whose life is the very light of men. Why does God speak to us of such matters? Why does he tell us of his arm, his seed, his son? Why should we be looking for him? Because of what is coming. Verse 6, for the sky will vanish like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants will die in like manner. We have all this wonder, and then we're told these things. But Yeshua Ti, my salvation, and Tzidki, my righteousness, will not wane. Verse 7, listen to me, you who know righteousness, Tzidki, my son. A people in whom is my Torah, my law. If you love me, you will keep my Torah, my instructions. And Isaiah transmits to us the word of God. Do not fear the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at their reviling. The arm, the Son of God, put it this way. Don't fear those, him who can kill the body. Fear him who can kill the body and the soul in hell. Verse 8, but my righteousness is forever. My salvation, Yeshua, is to all generations. Regardless of the situations that we find ourselves in or that we view, one truth stands forever. Yeshua. And there's no place we can go that he does not travel with us. Isaiah then gives up a prayer, perhaps one that we might utter in these days. It's found in Isaiah chapter 51, verses 9 through 16. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the days of old, the generations of long ago. Was it not you who cut Rahab in pieces, who pierced the dragon? Was it not you who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, who made the depths of the sea a pathway for the redeemed to cross over? So the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, and everlasting joy will be upon their heads, and they will obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee from them. I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of man who dies and the Son of Man who is like grass? That you have forgotten the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, that you fear continually all day long because of the fury of the oppressor as he makes ready to destroy? But where is the fury of the oppressor? The exile will soon be set free and will not die in the dungeon, nor will his bread be lacking. For I am the Lord your God, who stirs up the seas and its waves roar, and the Lord of hosts, literally Adonai Tzvaot, the Lord of armies, is his name. I have put my words in your mouth and have covered you with the shadow of my hand to establish the heavens, to found the earth, and to say to Zion, you are my people. What a calling. He did it for Rav Shaul in the first generation. He covered him in the shadow of his hands. He was snake bit, beaten, stoned. Lord have mercy. Read what Paul calls light affliction. Nothing could touch him. Nothing could cease his mouth. The threats to Yochanan and to Kephas, to Peter and John, They were significant. But who should I listen to? You or Hashem, God? And they went out and they began to dance in the streets of Jerusalem because they were considered worthy to be beaten for the sake of the Lord. Indeed, there is much to fear these days if one looks only at the events of the day. There is much to unsettle our soul if we look only at the events of the day. But frankly, no matter what generation you lived in, if you look only at the events of the day, your soul will be unsettled. But God has provided for us an anchor for our souls, something that doesn't change, that is the same yesterday, today, and forever, something we can count on in a sea. The sea has always been symbolic of the wicked, for it constantly churns. It is always causing muck and mire to be churned up from the bottom. It is never at peace. It is never still. It is never quiet. There is much to fear these days, but you cast your gaze to the heavens, for the redemption of our God draws nigh. And open your mouth, because in your mouth, God has placed words. And those words have life, and they have meaning. And they will touch souls the same way Yeshua's words touched yours. The words he gives you to speak will touch the souls of others. The people of God suffer in this day. Both the Jew and the Christian are dying by the hand of those who fight against God. In our country, we have something that is unprecedented, that would have been simply inconceivable, unbelievable to the mind just 10, 20 years ago. It's a war on Christianity. There is an overt war on God. The founders, close your eyes and imagine a speech by Patrick Henry today in the Senate. He'd be arrested. Nothing new for him. They wanted to arrest him back then, too. Boy, was so obnoxious, really. I love him. He's my favorite. He was a wonderful character. Should we cower before those who would fight against God? Should we cower before those who would fight against the believers? Or do we stand up mighty like David and say, why is this man still alive? Why have you not gone out and met this man and silenced this blasphemous tongue? Should we not rise up and speak the words that God has put in our mouths? Of course we should. So why don't we? Because we fear the reproach of men. And that entire prayer is for us. Why do you fear this? Adonai Tzidkenu, Uzra'a Adonai, the righteousness and the arm of the Lord is coming. Are these not the times we should declare loudly and boldly, Hine el Yeshuati? Behold, God is my salvation. Uri, my light. Tzidki, my righteousness. Chazak, chazak, v'nit chazek. Be strong, and be strengthened. Trouble, but a moment. blessings. They last for eternity. Father, in Yeshua's name, we give praise, honor, and glory to you, and I thank you. I thank you that you have put in the mouth of your people your words, words of life. You gave them to your disciples. And we who live today have come to faith through them. Your entire prayer in the good news you gave to Yochanan, the transmission of your word, your life, your light. Let us be true and faithful servants, Lord God, that we might hasten the time of your return. In Yeshua's precious name, amen. You stink too. Some of you more than me. Some of you less. My identity is in the Lord. I look to the... You stink too. Some of you more than me. Some of you less. My identity is in the Lord. I look to the